And this is a testimony, and not I didn't say this because it seems like a little bragging, but I just want to show you how the Lord works. I call this testimony real-time testimony. Better put a name on testimony. So I support missionaries beside the ones here because over the years I just keep picking up missionary. And I picked up this missionary here, Brother Chris. I don't know if you know him at all. He's from the Philippines, been there for 25 years, married a Filipino gal over the phone 30 years ago, whatever, married her. You're in Philippines. The Philippines are open, you know. Some ground is tough. European ground and China ground. You got to really do a lot of plowing there. But they're open up there. Anyway, so he sent me this. This is going back in October. He says here, if anyone is reading this, might want to help out some Bibles sent to Christians here in the Philippines, please contact Josh at Bible Society or me directly because they need Bibles, English Bibles. So you might think, well, you know what, though? I hate going in church here and seeing all those Bibles sitting there in that room over there. We got to get them out, man. So I wrote this letter. I said, hey, hi, Brother Chris. Happy Friday. Saw your October note. I attend Pastor Hoffman's church in Indiana. We have a bunch of Bibles. What would you like? Soft cover, hard copy, a little bit of both, blah, 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 you know. So he's encouraged. He sends me a note back saying, hey, that's great. But the shipping to the Philippines are outrageous. I mean, it costs more to ship it. I don't mind purchasing the Bibles. Lord said, send them Bibles. Get them Bibles. You know, back here in October, get them Bibles. But the shipping was so phenomenal. It costs more shipping than that Bible's worth. So he goes, hey, Tim, we have a place that'll print them here. Always better printing them in the country they are than shipping a lot of them. So he goes, hey, brother, if you want to donate, there's a we can get a deal on $1,000. It's $6,700, whatever you want to do. So, okay, these letters come to my office. So I'm going to send them some Bibles. So in my heart, Lord goes, hey, give them $3,000. I said, okay, Lord. So I had to go to Western Union. I never been to Western Union in my life. I even know how it works, you know. So I'm kind of a retired guy, but one of my lawyers go, Tim, will you see a client here in Aurora? I may go see him. I need to see him. Okay, you know, I'm known for 30-something years. So I go to the client, and it so happened the Western Union is about a minute away. This is now go back at the end of December. So I go there, and I saw the client, and without notes to me, we did a transaction I wasn't prepared for. And that transaction paid for all the Bibles already. So I'm saying, Lord, set the thing up here. I'm like, well, that's kind of cool. I mean, I was ready to give some money. I want to help someone out here. Pay the money. I go to Western Union. I do the transaction. I go back home. I send them an email. Now, I had this second email in November. I'm sitting at my pile. I have read for almost a month. So the next day, I get the email that says here, I'm still looking to print some Bibles. A brother in Indiana here wants to send some. I get this amount here. I can get 1,000. I go, oh, wow, I just sent that guy an email just yesterday about that. So that prompted me to get my phone call. So I get my phone out here. I go to my email. Just 2 minutes ago, this text comes in. Praise the Lord, brother. I just got your email here. Your $2,000 plus another $1,000 plus this pays for the whole thing. Perfect timing. As I read that thing, you know, I'm weeping. I'm marshmallow. And my wife comes by and she's, what are you crying about? I'm trying to tell her this thing, you know, with how the Lord's working in real time here. I'm trying to tell her that. I'm like, hey, what a blessing. Now, you know how I am on application, right? Amen? Well, this is not my sermon today, but there's an application in all this. If we go to Scripture, I'm going to show you how the Lord, you know, works on this thing here. If we go to my Bible here, go to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to show you exactly how you know the Lord's moving. And though I'm glad he's moving in lives and everything. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, it says this right here. 6, but also I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, but necessary, but from necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And that's what you do when you do it. Now here's the application. Let me read you verse 11 and 14. It says, being enriched in everything to every bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by the many thanksgiving unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your profession, subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, for thanks be God's speakable gift. So what happens is four things. People who got the gift thank God for answered prayer. So he was doing that, and he sent me a little card, matter of fact, before it happened. It supplies a need for which God, we thank God for, verse 12. It makes them pray for you, because guess what? You give and they're praying for you, amen? Because they help them, verse 14. And when it's done, folks see it, and it convicts them that to try to be sanctified alive and get the grace of God through them, verse 13. You see that? So that's the application out there. That's like what happened here. And so that's God's perfect. I thought that was a little testimony. Kind of nice how the Lord did that. Just a month and a half of work came down to right there in a minute. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. Okay. Today, the reason I got this little Bible study today is honestly because of my wife. She asked me a lot about how about the millennial reign? How about the millennial reign she's talking about? And I knew a little about, quite a bit about the millennial reign, but I never really did a full-blown study on it. She goes, I ask people at church, they don't know. So guess what? Today I'm going to talk to you about the millennial reign. And I think I've got it laid out here. I'm going to do today, this Sunday and next Sunday, I'm going to lay out a foundation. And my hope is that when you see how I kind of lay it out like this, you'll understand it totally. So you'll understand, boom, boom, boom. I'm going to go through the purpose, the structure, and the people. And this is important. You know why? This is something that's to come. Amen? So this is a major doctrine the Bible calls the millennial reign. In most Christian circles, like the tribulation, there's a lot of misunderstanding and wrong information on this subject, without a doubt. It will, if we stick with the scripture, the King James Bible, context, and dividing it, we'll get a correct teaching. I'll show you what is kind of thought out there in general and what the actual Bible says. And if you understand it, it's an amazing thing. So just to give you a little kind of how that works, if you go to 2 Thessalonians, talk about the tribulation. If you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'll show you the likeness of how this thing kind of comes together here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. It says here, for the mystery of iniquity. Oh, by the way, there's a mystery. I think Frank covered that. That's something we should know, the mysteries, amen? I mean, if you get the mysteries down, you'll kind of, if you get the seven mysteries down, you'll be kind of a well-rounded believer. That's just the way it is. God put it on here. But this is one of the mysteries. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And what happened here, someone, they thought the Antichrist came already, and they're kind of explaining it. Paul is, only he who now let until he take it out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they rejected not the love of the truth, and they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. So there you go, that they might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in righteousness. And God is telling you here, folks, if you've, an unsaved person hears the truth and rejects it, man, they're going to be in trouble. The Lord comes. I mean, that's a pretty amazing thing. Yeah, and that's part of the tribulation. And if you look at Revelation chapter 14, in verse number 6, it says, "And I saw another angel in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." And they follow another angel, and he's telling him, don't let him keep the commandments of God and faith in Jesus Christ. So clearly it's a different gospel. So what's happening in the church age clearly is not happening in tribulation. You understand the complete opposite. Liken it is to the millennial reign. Completely different than what's happening today. People don't understand that. If you look a lot of in Christian circles, they think it's going to be a Christianization of nothing like that. So I want to explain to you what the purpose is, the structure, and the people. And you go, wow, what a complete difference. And we're right here. Here's the church age. Here's the Lord church age. Here's the seventh week of Daniel, our rapture. So we got a tribulation to go through here, which I just read. What's happening here is not happening here. And we have this millennial reign here. That's a big thing. You know what, though? Hey, I got some Mexican trip coming up. My buddy called me today and wants to go skiing. I go, well, yeah, every other year. We didn't go last year, so we're planning on that. And it's something to look forward to, a little trip and fishing maybe, whatever, you know. But this is way better. This is something 1,000 years. See what's going on. So let's see what the Bible says. And I'll make this real simple. I think if you follow along here, you for sure will understand this. And I'll put the verses down here. I'll say it for you. So number one, the purpose. I think there are three purposes from Scripture what the millennial reign is. Number one, this is where the Lord Jesus Christ gets to be King of Kings and gets his throne. And all the kingdom of earth are his, and he'll rule in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. There's a tremendous amount of scripture on this. I'm going to cover the foundation today and next week, and we can get into deep this thing, but I'm going to give you the foundation. But that's number one, is the Lord gets to be King of Kings. That's without a doubt, one for sure main thing. You know, if you ask the average Christian today, what's the theme of the Bible? Oh, God loves you. Is that on a cross? That's not the theme of the Bible, man. You know, somebody asked me, I say it's about kingdoms and thrones. That's what the Bible, it's about Adam was the first king, and you know, it's about kingdoms and thrones. So what's interesting about that, just to get off a little thing here, I just did a little thing on, looked online, I go, how that word kingdom and thrones thrown around a lot? Look at this, what I found out here. This is how many video games and movies talk about kingdoms and thrones. This is unbelievable. Kingdom of Far Reaches, Kingdom of Reckoning, Lost Kingdom, Kingdom Battle, Kingdom Hearts, Dark Kingdom, Kingdom Deliverance, Kingdom Majestic, the Three Kingdoms, 125 movies with kingdoms. There's a big movie, a game now called The Game of Thrones. Look, I mean, the Hollywood is kind of reacting what this is going to come up for us. You understand that? They have a phony kingdoms and thrones. They're trying to mimic what the Bible, you get that, right? It's an amazing, I mean, look at the battling and this and kingdom. It's all just facade for the devil knows what's really going to happen. Get that, folks? So that's pretty interesting how, you know, all these kids are playing all these, I mean, these games are $300-$400. I'm out of, I guess it's the video game business, a multi-billion-dollar business. I'm out of my loop, but it's unbelievable. You got to throw, you can get a deal. The Game of Thrones, only $450 for the set. I ain't buying it. I think the thrones and kingdoms right here is way better, and it's true. Amen. So number one is he'll reign for 1,000 years. Let me look at some verses on that here. Isaiah 9:6-7. It says, "For unto us is born, for unto us a child is born, unto us is given, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." Semicolon. That's the first coming, right? Look how much is on the millennial reign here. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of his increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, get in a little bit here, and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever and ever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That's, you know, he's coming. Yeah, he came. But this is where he gets the glory. You get that, folks? I mean, that just, that's, you know, people forget that. You know, and we're kind of selfish. I'm glad, a lot of Christians, I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm praise the Lord, I'm saved. Amen. But you know what, though? There's way more than that. It's like being born and being in your diapers all your life. You know, I won't be a baby diaper. You know, like a lot of churches today, it's like going to McDonald's. You go to McDonald's, you have the same thing over and over again. You have a hamburger and fries. Once in a while, you have chicken nuggets. Not even real chicken, you know what I mean? You know? And then what you're doing for ministry, they all come over and you jump in the plastic balls and play around with them. I'm not kidding you. And all the diseases on it, what's going on? I'm serious now. Today's Christianity. That's just the way it is. I'm unfortunate. That's why understanding this here, man, it'll get you excited. And I'll show you some other things that you ought to be aware about, which Pastor Hoffman covers a lot. Okay, let me read you a verse here in Luke 1:31-33. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. Amen. But look at the rest. He shall be great. We can use that for our age too. And shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give, that could be transitional, if you're saved, believe that. And the Lord God shall give him his throne of his father David, and shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall have be no end. So, there, you know, here it is, here he's came, and here's, they're always, he's looking ahead. We're looking ahead at the millennial, right there, you know? Okay? Now, the purpose is, the second purpose, you know what it's for? It's for me and you. It's for the believers. And it's for the believers to get an inheritance. So, believers, inheritance. Now, you know what? One thing I have to agree, Pastor Hoffman talks about this all the time, about the inheritance. This is a real key, because there's the Lord. Here we are. This is for us, right here. I mean, we're going to like this too, but that's for us. Don't want to miss that. Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs of Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. This is why we labor here down on earth. You get that? This is why we labor right here on earth. Now, Pastor Hoppe had a sermon about a month ago about Christian, un-Christian. Remember that in Romans chapter 11? You know, they were called Christians first in Antioch. Remember that? And he showed Antioch Bible. And then a lot of times you see that word Christian associated with suffering. Hey, you look at history, there was a lot of suffering. We live in America in the latest church age. You know where our suffering comes from? Most times other believers. What are you doing out there? You know, I'm not kidding. So, I mean, our suffering is a little different. You may suffer a little bit here, some things, you know. I had a client one time that I would say way back in the day, and I saw him ready to do some business. And then I saw his wife, and he goes, I go, hey, what happened? He goes, my husband seen you street preaching in Naperville out here, and I thought it was great, but he wanted to do it with you. It's a badge of honor. I'm in Naperville, I was on a corner, street preacher, whatever, you know. What's that guy that I'm in business with? I don't want to deal with him. You know, that's okay. I mean, whoopee-doo. You know, I wear that as a badge of honor. But I found that out, like, hey, you know, I wonder that guy was needing some all kinds of stuff he needed to have done. He didn't want to do it. I wonder what happened, you know. And it was real to me. Yeah, so I goes, hey, I thought it's great. But my husband says that guy's on a corner there. He's a nut. You know. I always remember, I think I might have said this before, way back when I was on my little corner in Naperville, and I don't remember, I was preaching, and I just having a great old time, and a guy, big old guy, I think he had a little intoxicated, He went and talked to me. I could tell. I go, hang on. And my guy is talking a little bit. He's huffing and puffing a little bit, you know. And I'll be done in a minute. I don't even want to talk to me. Hang on there, buddy. And then he goes, What are you doing? I go, hey. I'm done. You can take my place right here and tell the people what you love more than anything else. Tell them what you love. What the, huh? He'll love anything. He'll love himself. Well, he went a little bit there. I think to attract him. I mean, see what I'm saying? When you first got married, you remember your girlfriend, you could start talking about her, right? Amen? Good time goes on. You know what I'm saying? But you know what, though? Because you're in love with something. When I first get saved, you know what, though? Man, you love the Word of God. He saved you. I mean, I worked in the beer industry, remember? And when I got in there, I mean, they'd hide from me. Because I was all zeal and no knowledge. I came up, I was, this is great, I'm not going to hell. Hallelujah. That's all I knew, you know? So you from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So this inheritance here is what we're going to get if some conditions here. You know, there are three judgments for the believer. Number one, we're saved. You know, we're saved from sins, past, present. Amen. I mean, praise the Lord. That's settled on Calvary's cross, the blood of Christ. Amen. But now that we're sons of God, God's dealing with us here on earth as like today. He'll deal with you. You have children, you know. Your children, they're your children. But if you do something that's wrong, you're going to get some kind of reprimand for that, whatever that is, right? God's the same way. Amen? And when we get to judgment seat of Christ, I'll get to this a little bit later in a weeks. We're not judged from our sin that was on Calvary. We're not even judged by our sonship. We're judged for what we did for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we get our inheritance. That's where we get right there. So we got to make sure we get that thing right there, you know? So that's real important to get. The last thing is, the Jews get the kingdom back and their land back. I'm sorry, I'll write it better. Get back, BA, back. So the Jews are involved. This millennial here, you know, Jews are blinded in part, but all the promises that were made, God's going to fulfill them all. Jews get the kingdom of heaven back and the land grant and what they were promised back in the Old Testament, but it never happened. The closest thing ever came to that was King Solomon. For King Solomon, for 40 years, it was close. In fact, if you read, history is kind of hidden. Really, they had land that time before they split up, and they were kind of the big world thing. But it was in type. It obviously fell apart, and the kingdom split and all that. But that structure was kind of set up, but of course, it fell apart, and it'll come back in the millennial reign. Matthew 4:17. For that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He actually came here and said, folks, the kingdom, I'm here, set it up. I mean, he would have set it up. People don't realize that. But, you know, they rejected him and killed him. Coming here, I listen to Warren Wiersbe. I like the guy. He's good, but he's in Matthew 6 and 7 and 8, and he ain't got a clue. I mean, he's a nice guy. I mean, he goes, a lot of different interpretations, but I believe this is for Christians here today. And he's reading the scripture. He's just leaving parts out because he can't put the scriptures in his theology today. And he's, I like the guy, but like, man, he has no clue. That's what you're getting. That's what I'm saying. You're trying to plug what's happening here in today, and you're all getting all messed up. That's what you have. So that's just kind of what happens there. But you know, I throw him out the window. I go, hey, you know what? He's good in some things. I just kind of chuckle and be thankful that if you know that, understand that, do something with it. Amen. It will be a kingdom that the Lord Jesus will bring back, and Israel will get everything promised to them. Amen. Right. Israel will get their stay. Hey, King of Kings, inheritance. Jews get land back. There are a lot more here. I'm giving you the framework so you understand what the purpose, what the structure, and the people are going to be involved here. Those are three things that I see that are the main part of this year. Now, there will be a government that will be laid out, mentioned several times in scriptures, Matthew 5, 6, 7. That's kind of what's going to be a little government here. Or we call it, I'll call it a constitution, which will be in the millennial, how people will conduct themselves and will be expected during this time. And if you want to get detail, go a little bit, Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48. Ezekiel, there'll be a government, and a new government, and it'll be found in Ezekiel 40 to 48. You'll never, ever, ever find people going to Ezekiel 40 to 48. They can't, because it doesn't fit into their theology. You understand that? I mean, they'll completely spiritualize it. We're going to cover some part, or skip it, because it just can't, it doesn't fit into like, well, we're saved the same way in the Old Testament that we are in the New Testament, and it's just, it doesn't fit. So they just kind of don't talk about it at all. So, but there's a government coming up here. Now, eight chapters, Ezekiel 40, 48, this is without a doubt the greatest part of Scripture that lays out the structure is concerned. In chapters 40, 43, you got the temple being built again. I mean, they're building a temple again here, in those verses here. And worship is back. The Lord Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne at the temple. They don't do that. That's the scripture. No question about it. Now, if you read Ezekiel 40 and Isaiah and so forth, you'll hear all about these gates they have, all these gates. And one of the more prominent gates is called the Prince Gate. Now, I'm embarrassed. Does anyone know who will be in the Prince Gate? Anyone know? The Prince Gate. Very good. The girl's telling you, that's exactly right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I agree with that. You want to use the Bible. So yeah, hey, there's a lot going on there. I want to cover this because you see how this government is laid out, without a doubt. And in Ezekiel 42, 44, 2 to 3, it says, "Then said the Lord unto me, this gate shall be shut, it shall not be open, and no man shall enter in by it, because the Lord, the God of Israel, hath entered in it by it. Therefore, it shall be shut. It is for the prince. The prince, he shall sit in it and eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter by the way of the porch of that gate and shall go out by the way of the same." Ezekiel 34, he explains who that prince is. "And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it." And in 37:25, it says, "And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherefore your father have dwelt, and they have dwelt therein, even they and their children's children forever, and my servant David shall be the prince forever." So this talks about David coming back and sitting with the King Jesus. Amen? In the millennium, you have Jesus Christ sitting on a throne, and David sit right by him. And there's sacrifices again. That's foreign to modern Christianity. You understand that? And they can read it like here, but they just spiritualize it. Oh, that happened in the past. They don't understand what that's all about. Now, what do you have today in most churches, pastors, seminaries, Bible colleges? They have no idea what to do with this passage. They skip it or not honest. That's just the way it is. So, when you know, it's nice to go somewhere where you walk in harmony. You know, Amos says, how can you walk with someone and get you agree? They took the millennial and Christianized it, and it has almost nothing that's happening today. You understand that? So what's happening in the church age we are here, the tribulation is completely different, and millennial is completely different. I'm going to cover the purpose, and then I'm going through the structure now. You get that, okay? Let's look at a New Testament a verse, so you think, oh, it pulls out of context. Go to Colossians chapter 2. And, you know, Colossians 2 is more like for the circumcision of the believer, but there's some stuff in here I wanted to show you here. Colossians chapter 2, verses 14. Let's start at verse 14. And it says, 14:2, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross." There's the old ordinances of the Old Testament. It was nailed to the cross. Get that? Look at next verse, 13. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumph over them in it. Who that is? That's the devil and his kindred, you know. So hey, who them? That's all the principalities of the world. And he's showing devil and his crowd what happened. Verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holiday or the new moon or the Sabbath. So he's telling again here to the believers, hey, we don't have to do that anymore. But look at the next verse here. It says here, verse 17, which is a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. You show that complete difference. You understand that between what's to come in the millennial and what God did for the law, nailed to the cross. Here we have a body in Christ circumcised, but the shadow of things to come again. You get that, folks? That's what's happening in the millennial here. Yeah, you got to get that. I mean, you understand where we're going to be. Hey, I'm looking forward to that. Amen? Now, look at Ezekiel. Great. I'm going to get into some pretty deep stuff here, but if you get the foundation done, he's talking about a Jew or this person here, you can put the what you're talking about into the structure and inside the people, inside the purpose, so it makes total sense. If you read scripture and you don't know where it goes, you're like, well, I'm reading it, but you're not comprehending it. You get that, whatever, you know? You got to be able to comprehend it here. So look here. Ezekiel 45:17. And it shall be at the prince's part, we know princes already, is it right? To give burnt offerings, you know, David, right? Meat offerings and drink offerings in the feasts and the new moons and in the Sabbaths. And all Solomonites of the house of Israel, he shall prepare the sin offering and the meat offering and the burnt offering and the peace offering and make reconciliation for the house of Israel. Notice it's house Israel. In the Old Testament, those were for individuals. People brought sacrifice for individuals, and now it's for a nation. You get that? See, things are changing a little bit here. Hey, people individually did things, and now God is dealing with Israel back as a nation again. And David's sitting there rolling with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's buying sacrifice for a nation. The Lord is reigning, sitting on his throne. It's a theocracy. Get that, right? Theocracy. It ain't like it is today. You know, who's counting the votes and all that baloney here, man? It's, you know, I like that. That's a pretty amazing thing. And he's running it with a rod of iron. Psalm 2:9, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. That's context of the coming millennial. Revelation 9:15, and out of his mouth go the sharp sword, and with it should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and the threaded the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. That's why it says in Matthew, Mark, Luke, if thy hand offended, cut it off, is better entered into heaven than cast into hell. Because you're going to cast right into hell there. Find it out. I mean, it's just a theocracy. And God's reigning, and he's right there. We live by faith today, amen? We're looking, if he's reigning, and we're little Jesus, sons of God, I'll cover that later, you're seeing things right there. That's an amazing thing. So, living by faith here, and we're living by sight, those people are. I'll get a little more in that in a little bit here, okay? Jerusalem will be the center of this world like it kind of was in Solomon's day for a little while. History will never tell you that. That was a picture of what will soon be, and the structure gets into place. Okay? Now, there will be a rebirth of the earth. You know, I mean, think about that here. We're born again spiritually, but you know what? There's going to be a rebirth here of the earth. Revelation 21:1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. What's interesting is all these people that are trying to save these trees and the whales, all that. I mean, and a loss, they're doing it for naught. What the Lord's going to give rebirth to this world. I'm looking forward to that. Hey, man, they're always trying to do something that God is. They're trying to become their own gods. Well, I'm going to do the best I can to save this whale. We're going to go out to the ocean and break your back trying to get them out of the ocean there and everything. We saved the whale. Oh, man, praise, honor, and glory to the man. Like, what? I mean, I'm for cats and dogs. I'm not for cats, but dogs are okay. They save the dogs, you know. But, you know, sorry if you have cats here, but, you know. I'm all for that, but, I mean, that's not the end of all, you know. God show you it's going to happen here, and he means it here. Isaiah 35:1, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. So what's going to happen is there's this water going to fly. I'm going to get in detail next time. Going to fly, come out from the throne of God. It's going to go down from Jerusalem. How many people have ever been to Jerusalem? Anyone been there at all? Okay. We're going, I don't know now, but there's a thing called the Dead Sea there. And it's dead. First, when I went there, I jumped. I wanted to float in it. So I could say float in the thing. I float in the Dead Sea. Okay, man. It's pretty cool. But it's dead. I think that's kind of where Sodom and Gomorrah is and all my personal opinion, things like that. But when God gives rebirth this water, it's going to flow from there and go in that sea. It's going to become alive again. And Israel's kind of a dusty place, rocky. I've been to some Switzerland, gorgeous. Some areas, you know, in Europe and even out west, it's beautiful, but it's kind of a dead, dry place. Wait to see what it looked like. It's going to be beautiful. And I'm a fisherman. Maybe the Lord give me a little authority. You have a little fishing thing over there. I mean, Paul, my brother Paul, man, we're going to be, you know, be able to fish over there and help out. I don't know what we're going to do, but you know what, though? I have some ideas. But you know what, though? It's going to be a rebirth of the world. Kind of like it was back in Adam a little bit here. There's great details in this in Ezekiel 40:48. We're going to get a little bit in that there, okay? The Old Testament sacrifices come back. So, sacrifices again. Sacrifices and ordinances, they come back. Huh? Well, remember structure. People live a long time. I mean, back in the Old Testament, I think it was Genesis Methuselah. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years when he died. So back in the Old Testament, that's why the oldest guy recorded is Methuselah, 969. And I think the reason why he died, because it says, in the day thou die, sin, you shall live, I think a day for the Lord's 1,000 years. So no one lived more than 1,000 years because he had to honor that. But in the millennial, we're back to that longevity. Let me show you this verse here in Isaiah 65:20. I'll close with this here. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor old man that had not lived his days, for the child shall die 100 years old. So he says, if you die at 100 years old, you live 100 years old now, you're an old person. Hey, I'm 65 this year. I don't know how tall you are. I'm not guessing ladies all, but you know, we're getting slowing down a little bit. Now, I had some real energy back in the day. Believe me, I am slowing down. I need a nap. You know what I mean? So that's what happens. For some of you young folks out here, just wait and see. But, I mean, so 100 years, man, that guy's 100 years old. Wow, that's a babe. Showing you how what's happening here. This is more complicated to people. That's for next time. What's happening here is not happening here, not happening here. Completely different. And we have it written in black and white for us here. But the sinner being 100 years old shall be a curse. You know, I mean, 100 years old, what happened to you? Like, you know, I mean, what happened to that person with 100 years? That's nothing. So showing you how we got the rapture, I think it's next on our program. And I'll get into some of the other things going on here next time. This tribulation. But right here, the millennial. That's what we have to look forward to, where the Lord gets us up his kingdom. We get our inheritance. Hey, I'll get more in this year. This is important. We're going to get an inheritance for what we did for the Lord Jesus Christ here. I mean, now honestly, yeah, I'm kind of a competitor by nature. That's just the way I am. And I thank the Lord for what he did for me. I do things for him, but you know what, though? I'm a competitor. Lord, you promise some things, I'm taking up your promise. It's like your dad says, if you do this here, son, and work real hard and get good grades, I'll buy you a bike. Or something, whatever, you know? Hey, I'm going to work hard. My dad's going to buy me a bike. I get no C's or D's, all beef. Well, that's okay. My dad wants to buy me a bike. And I get B's. I don't know if that happened, but you know, whatever it was, you know? So the Lord got things for you here. I'll cover some of them here. You know, the Pastor Hoffman says there's spectators and participants. You want to be a participant here. Amen. Okay, we're close. Any questions about, I'm going to finish this next time. So next time I'm here, Lord Terry's, I'm going to go through the six people group, which it gets a little more complicated. This is pretty easy. This you kind of see. This is where you get some detail, you know, what are the resurrections and what the ultimate Jew's going to be. And this is another thing that doesn't fit into today's modern Christianity right here. I think we're all going to be, you know, sons of God's Old Testament, New. I completely have no clue. So when you see how good we've got it, we got it good. That'll motivate you to live by faith to get some inheritances. It's really that simple. Okay. Any questions? Comments on any of this? Okay. Father in heaven, thank you very much for brief kind of laying out now of the millennial reign. I'm looking forward to it. I've got a few things, Lord. Give me a few things, Lord, please. Amen. I pray folks here would just understand and get a grip of this thing here and be able to live for thee by faith and knowing what your word says and what you promised. Not only for the Jew and your nation, but for the sons of God. Don't miss out on opportunities. We thank you and praise you. May you work accordingly. And we ask this. And I pray for Brother Hoffman and his wife. I think she's coming too. And may you be there in the midst as we sing and praise and hear some preaching. And may be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.